Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Monday, November 11th. This is a press release from the Delta County Sheriff's Office. At approximately 9:15 p.m. on Saturday, November 9th, the Delta County Communications Center was notified of a serious traffic accident at the intersection of 2100 Road and E Road in the Peach Valley area of Delta. Deputies responded to the scene along with the Delta County Ambulance District, Delta Fire Department, and Colorado State Patrol. Upon arrival, deputies discovered two current Delta High School students and two recent high school graduates were injured in the accident. We are deeply saddened to report that one of the occupants, a senior at Delta High School, was pronounced dead on the scene. Two occupants were transported to St. Mary's Hospital in Grand Junction, where they are reported to be in critical condition. One occupant was transported to Delta County Memorial Hospital and is reported to be in stable condition. Due to this being an active investigation involving juveniles and pending notification of families, no names, ages, or other details are being released. The Sheriff's Department would like to ask that everyone please be considerate of family members during this difficult time and respect their privacy by not posting names or details of the accident on social media. Colorado State Patrol's accident reconstruction team is working to determine the cause of the accident and will share their official findings once the investigation is complete. The Sheriff's Department thoughts and prayers go out to all the families and victims in this serious accident and to all the first responders who responded to this scene. This accident will have a profound and lasting impact on the community, students, and first responders. Additional information related to the accident will be shared by the Colorado State Patrol and the Delta County Coroner's Office once they have completed their investigations. This is from the Colorado News Connection. After winning permanent reauthorization for the Land and Water Conservation Fund, public lands advocates are pressing leaders in Congress to fully fund the program. Eric Galatis has more.
A Senate committee is set to vote on a permanent funding bill on November 19th, just days after Veterans Day. Mary Jo Brooks with the National Wildlife Federation points out that veterans frequently turn to public lands for solace after serving in combat.
And I can think of no better way to pay tribute to our veterans than by helping to fully fund a program that helps support these lands that they enjoy so much and that, frankly, they've fought and put their lives on the line to protect.
Some lawmakers who have opposed a permanent funding bill say allocating money year by year provides more flexibility. Brooks says the decision about where offshore oil and gas production fees should be invested was clear when the fund was established five decades ago.
It was decided already a long time ago that the Land and Water Conservation Fund is entitled to $900 million, and so that should just be money that is automatically allocated so that there can't be this political football of playing games with it.
After Congress permanently reauthorized the program in March, the Trump administration proposed a budget that nearly zeroed out money for the Parks and Public Lands Fund. And recent budgets by the House and Senate call for releasing just half of the $900 million available. Brooks says Colorado Senators Cory Gardner and Michael Bennett have been strong supporters of the fund, but believes Gardner is in a better position to advance the measure as a member of the majority party.
The burden is on him to get this across the finish line and not only vote on it in committee next week, but to really make sure it gets a floor vote. So we're really looking to Senator Gardner to get this done.
Since the program began in 1964, Congress has only allocated full funding a handful of times, meaning some $22 billion meant to support America's public lands, parks, and public access points has been diverted. This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
According to the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel, a judge halted the expansion of underground coal mining in the North Fork Valley over the federal government's failure to consider requiring flaring of the methane that would be produced. Judge R. Brooke Jackson made the ruling in the U.S. District Court of Colorado last Friday. It applies to the West Elk Mine's efforts to begin mining as early as January beneath some 2,000 acres in what's known as the Sunset Roadless Area in the Gunnison National Forest. Ruling in a lawsuit brought by conservation groups, Judge Jackson found that the Federal Office of Surface Mining Reclamation and Enforcement violated federal law by failing to consider requiring the mine to burn off the methane produced during mining operations. Methane is a potent greenhouse gas. A supplemental environmental impact statement issued by the U.S. Forest Service and Bureau of Land Management had estimated that flaring could reduce the total global warming potential of the gas by about 87%. Judge Jackson found that neither the Mining Reclamation Office, the BLM, or the Forest Service, quote, put on the record any conclusions that justify excluding methane flaring from consideration as an alternative. Instead, it appears that one agency drew a faulty conclusion on the basis of other agencies' explicit lack of conclusion, end quote. The mine is the largest single industrial point source of methane pollution in the state. The Forest Service has estimated the mine expansion would result in the release of nearly 12 million tons of methane. While the mining will take place underground, the mine has begun surface work in the roadless area, where it plans to build about 8.4 miles of roads and install 43 methane drainage wells. The mine is owned by Arch Coal, which began pursuing the expansion a decade ago, but has faced protracted legal challenges. Judge Jackson also ruled in favor of conservationists over their contention that the Mining Reclamation Office did not take a hard look at impacts to water resources from mining activities. The lawsuit was brought by Wild Earth Guardians and other conservation groups. Even as the case has played out in court, Arch Coal has begun to pursue the possibility of flaring at the mine. Judge Jackson's ruling includes a footnote saying that the mine notified the court about a new methane flaring system it believes it might be able to successfully implement. The mine has proposed the system to the Federal Mine Safety and Health Administration and is awaiting a ruling, and has no objection to flaring if it can be done without compromising miner safety. The West Elk Mine is the state's most productive coal mine. The latest monthly State Division of Reclamation Mining and Safety coal report shows it employs 329 people. Judge Jackson's ruling does not shut down the mine as it continues to operate outside of the expansion area. And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Monday, November 11th. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.